I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Thursday to you. We come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour here on the show, Andrew Catalan, CBS Sports NFL play-by-play voice. He's the preseason voice of the Buffalo Bills, also called seven different Jaguars games this year. So he's got a good sense of that game and the rest of the NFL wildcard weekend. We'll talk to him about that coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. I have to laugh because sometimes I feel like the gods are laughing at me in my life. There are on occasion, I'm sure you feel like this, where you go, wow, somebody upstairs is just winking and laughing. And that's the only way to explain this. And on my Twitter timeline over the last, let's say, 3 minutes, were two horrifying pictures back-to-back and a belly-to-belly. First off, one of our listeners hearing us talk about the last time the Kansas City Chiefs won a Super Bowl tweeted a picture at me of Len Dawson smoking a heater in the locker room. That was from Chino. And he said, this is the last time KC won a Super Bowl. And indeed, it's Len Dawson head to the side, burning a cigarette, burning a heater. And the body Bilotti knows where I'm going with this. And in succession, Pete tweets out a picture of what he's staring at in the newsroom or in that on that side of the glass, and he says, this is my snowstorm as it's snowing relentlessly here in New York City. And it's Mraz, head tilted to the side, but instead of shoving a cigarette in his mouth like Len Dawson, it's the same exact shot somehow, but he's shoveling a brownie in his face at 9:30 in the morning. It's like the same exact shot.
Oh my goodness.
It's the same exact shot. So somehow all of this is just my life is being the streams are crossed in every way.
Today is my Super Bowl.
Oh, like how perfect are these two pictures next to one another?
I didn't expect that. I did not at all. I expected something, but not that. The same cheek sucking in on both. Oh, 2J Berman. Where is he?
So you can check out that picture side by each of Len Dawson smoking a cig in the locker room in full uniform and Mraz smoking a brownie in his full uniform as well. If you want to go to our Twitter page, DA on CBS, or I'll also post that on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Two all-time greats there. Two at the heat, at the peak of their powers.
Two of the best.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
At some point this morning, we've got to replay the Roman numerals segment from yesterday. Mraz workshopping through Super Bowl numerals was immediately an instant classic. We've got to play that at some point on today's show. So national championship game news. This is a big one for the Alabama Crimson Tide,
We know that defensively they were just starting to get healthy and then completely shut down the Clemson Tigers in the Sugar Bowl. But Anfernee Jennings, a huge important member of the linebacking unit and the defense, is going to be out. He tweeted that surgery was a success. He has to wait to see what the next MRI will determine coming up on Friday, but he says, I played my last game this season. Jennings was a huge part of the defensive effort against Kelly Bryant and the Tigers in the Sugar Bowl. Apparently, he had sprained his knee, ended up having to have surgery on the knee. He was the guy that actually caused the hit for Daron Payne and the interception, that big, huge kind of turning point in the game. So Jennings had three tackles for losses in the Sugar Bowl and the hit that caused the Daron Payne interception. Anfernee Jennings is a huge part of what they do, an important part of the defense, and that's a piece of the puzzle that's out, and that is worth noting for Alabama. Now, remember that Alabama's been dealing with a number of injuries at linebacker already. Sean Dion Hamilton out for the season. They've also had some other guys go down over the course of the year, so it's a big deal. And I think that anybody that just kind of looks at the brands and the histories, that it's Alabama and Georgia, and Alabama always wins and Georgia never wins, is oversimplifying this. I think you have to give the Georgia Bulldogs a chance in this game, and I'll tell you why. It's because Georgia is built exactly like Alabama. I mean, essentially Kirby Smart built what Alabama had been doing in Athens. He said, we've got to get big bodies on the interior of the defensive line. We've got to have a swarming athletic defense. We've got to create turnovers. We've got to run the football. These are all things that Alabama has done to win their national championships under Nick Saban. There is a reason they are a dynasty, and that is because those are the tenets that they never, ever, ever get away from. They never have elite quarterbacking at Alabama. You're never getting a Heisman Trophy winner at Alabama under center, being the number one draft pick in the NFL. You've always got elite running backs and elite linebackers specifically, but also playmakers on defense. Well, that's exactly what Georgia is. I mean, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb have been doing this for a while now, and you saw what they did. They ripped apart the Oklahoma defense in the Rose Bowl. And, you know, Jake Fromm is not asked to be 350 yards through the air. He's asked to make a couple of throws, keep the defense honest, and, you know, not screw things up. And that's a lot of how, in the Greg McElroys of the world and the A.J. McCarrons of the world, have won championships for Nick Saban. Now, Jalen Hurts is different because he's a guy that can use his legs as much as his arm, and really he's more dangerous using his legs than his arm. So that's different from Jake Fromm. Fromm's not going to run all over the place. But they are mirror images of one another, and you have to understand that Georgia gets here because they play a very Alabama style. And for Georgia, I mean, they really wore down, outlasted, and out-physicaled Auburn, who had done the same exact thing to Alabama. So if Georgia can look like that against Auburn in the SEC title game, and I realize they got waxed at Auburn, but if Alabama can lose the way that they did to Auburn, and Auburn can lose the way that they did to Georgia, Georgia has a shot at this game. There is one huge factor, though, here, that no matter the injury to Anfernee Jennings, the style of play, that factors in that you cannot ignore. And it is a startling, staggering number that should make Georgia fans quake. That is Nick Saban against his former assistant coaches is a monster. He doesn't always only win. He dominates his ex-assistant coaches. Listen to this statistic. Nick Saban has faced a former assistant coach as the head coach 11 times. He has won all 11 games. He has won all 11 games by 2 touchdowns or more. He knows what you're going to do before you know what you're going to do. He knows your tendencies before you know your tendencies. He's got you beat before you take the field. Now, to be fair, a lot of this is that also Alabama has more talent on almost every game they ever play. I mean, there's a reason that Alabama has consistently the number one recruiting class in the country. It's not that Nick Saban's taking a bunch of 2- and 3-star kids and making them NFL studs. He's taking the very best of the best, and he's molding them. And so Alabama doesn't do this without elite talent year after year. You know, this isn't Wisconsin, where you've got to coach up kids. This isn't a middle-of-the-tier program. We've got to try to develop kids. This is, we get the best, and we coach the best. And we don't screw up the best. So, a lot of that is that simply, Alabama, when they match up with almost anybody, has more talent on the field, or at least as much talent on the field. And that's where Georgia can feel good about itself. It has really good talent. It has really good talent. We just had Phil Savage join us on the show yesterday. Savage is the color analyst for the Alabama Crimson Tide Radio Network. And he said, while Alabama may have more elite talent, the top 2 or 3 guys might be better than Georgia's top 2 or 3 guys at certain positions. He said, overall, Georgia might have more depth in terms of their good talent. So that's where Georgia can make up a little bit of the ground here. But, I mean, again, Saban understands, because all these guys have learned under Saban, they've learned Saban's tendencies and tend to make them their tendencies. Saban is 11-0 against assistant coaches that coach under him and have won every game by 2 touchdowns or more. It's been a waxing. It's been an annihilation. Domination. Now, I'll be frank here. I don't think Kirby Smart and Georgia's losing this game by 2 touchdowns. So I think that streak will end on Monday night. But, I mean, look, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Alabama wins. I don't think there's going to be a blowout. I don't think Georgia is going to be that bad in this game. I actually think it's going to be an excellent, excellent game, because both these teams, I mean, neither one of them is going to play a game usually in the 40s. I mean, what happened to the Rose Bowl is such an anomaly. This game is probably played in the 20s. It's probably played in the 27 to 24 point range. And when it's played in that range, it's going to be hard for it to be, you know, it's going to be hard to get out of control for either team. I know that's kind of how Alabama ended up dominating Clemson. I believe that Alabama's defense will not be able to do to Georgia what they did to Clemson. But 11-0, every win by 2 touchdowns or more, when Saban faces an assistant coach, former assistant coach. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, one of the voices of the NFL on CBS, Andrew Catalan, will join us, the preseason voice of the Bills, and called 7 Jaguars games this season. We'll talk to him about the AFC playoffs next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a throwback Thursday around here on the DA Show. Glad you're with us on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can watch the simulcast at watchda.com. It's in sparkling Technicolor each and every day, and the most recent episode replays there at watchda.com, and that's mobile friendly. Our next guest was the preseason voice of the Buffalo Bills this year and also did a number of the Jacksonville Jaguars games, so a good guy to pick the brain of as we head into the AFC playoffs. A dear friend of mine, Andrew Catalan from the NFL on CBS. Cat, how are you? Happy New Year.
DA, Happy New Year. All the love, my friend.
All the love, bro. All the love. My first question is, you ended up changing color analyst this year. James Lofton was in the booth with you. How would you grade out, A, your chemistry with Lofton this year in year one, and your chemistry with your spotter, John Lou McCarthy, this year?
Well, John Lou McCarthy, a good friend of both of ours, the chemistry will never be good with him.
Right.
It's going to be a constant work in progress.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
James is great. Look, I loved Steve Berline and Steve Tasker. I think you had Task on last hour.
Yep, indeed we did.
And he's still a very dear friend of mine, will continue to be. So we had a fun time together, the three of us. But James is a great guy. I think we, you know, had some really good games this year. Got a trip to London. We did Mraz's Giants this year. So yeah, we had some different experiences. And it was fun. It was a great year.
Yeah, it sounded good. It looked good. You guys seemed to work really well together. And you started out the season, again, being the preseason voice of the Buffalo Bills. Back then in August, was there any sense that this could be a big season that actually ended in the playoffs, or did everybody around the organization kind of feel like this is just a rebuilding season?
I mean, the preseason talk was, are the Bills tanking? I mean, that was really one of the big storylines in the summer. They traded Sammy Watkins. They traded Ronald Darby. And it looked like they were trying to build up some draft stock, which they did. And you know, I did the Bills last Sunday in Miami and met with center Eric Wood, who's now in his ninth year. And I said, when did you, you know, people were talking about you tanking. I mean, when did you start to believe this was potentially a playoff team? And he said that he looked around the locker room over the summer and he thought there was too much talent and too many effort guys, which I thought was interesting. There's just too many guys that cared about winning in that locker room. So he thought that they weren't going to be as bad as everyone thought. And then when they started winning games the way Sean McDermott said he wanted to win games, run the football, stop the run, and create turnovers, they kind of had that brand of football that McDermott was talking about, and they started following that recipe. And Wood said at that moment, you know, midway through the season, when we were winning games the way McDermott said we would, then I really started to believe we could make something of this season.
You've done a lot of Jaguars games over the last couple of seasons. What was the single biggest difference you saw this year, having called seven of those games, the single biggest difference between the Jaguars, which had been a three-win or four-win outfit, to this year being a 10-win outfit and winning the division?
I'd say Calais Campbell, not just because of the sack total, which was incredible, but the leadership that he brought in from Arizona. I met with Doug Marone 2 weeks ago. He pointed to Campbell, Barry Church, and A.J. Boye, three free agent pickups on the defensive side of the football this year. They all had great seasons on the field, but what Marone told us was that their leadership, their communication, the way they brought the entire locker room together is not only the reason why the defense is one of the best, if not the best in the NFL, but really why the Jaguars were able to turn the table this year. They really just, you know, look, they've got some different personalities on that team. Jalen Ramsey, Tashaun Gibson, Leonard Fournette. I mean, these are younger guys that, you know, they like to talk a little bit. Certainly Ramsey and Gibson do. And I think that Campbell and Church especially, really, they made everyone gel together. No one got too crazy. They were able to reel them in. And I think that Doug Marone, who, as we know, is a very strict coach, needed those guys on his team to carry his message. That's what he said Church did. That's what he said Campbell did. So you want to point to one thing? I believe it's the leadership of Calais Campbell.
That's really interesting. Andrew Catalan, the NFL on CBS, joins us here on the show. When you walked into that locker room or that organization, that front office this year, did it feel different because of Coughlin, because of Marone, than it had in previous seasons?
Yes. And, you know, Doug Marone's wife asked him early in the season, like, who's your best friend in the building? Like, who's the guy that you're closest with that you'll go get a bite to eat with in the cafeteria? And he said Tom Coughlin. I mean, so they have a very good relationship. And when you're at Jaguars practice, Marone is running the practice, but Coughlin has every single play on the script sheet, and he's pacing the sideline like he would if he was still coaching the team. Now, that said, Tom Coughlin's not telling Blake Bortles in the middle of practice, you need to do this. He leaves that all to Marone. But several times during practice, Marone will come over, he'll chat with Coughlin, bounce some things off of him. And, you know, I think you'll even look at last week. You know, they played all their starters against the Titans when they didn't need to. I think that's Coughlin's influence. You remember with the Giants, week 17, even if they had things locked up, Coughlin always liked playing his starters. I think that kind of rubbed off on Marone and his decision-making last week. So I think that there's a huge influence that Tom Coughlin brought to this team. And, you know, Dave Caldwell is still the GM there. It's not Coughlin doing all of the personnel moves. I believe that Caldwell deserves some credit, too, for these free agent pickups and the way they drafted their left tackle, Cam Robinson, a phenomenal year on that offensive line, which I believe is quite underrated.
So it's interesting because Blake Bortles also had such a different year this year than he has in recent years. And there's been some stories out there that Blake Bortles is totally immune to criticism, that he just does not latch into any of the negativity, and that some of his teammates are kind of bothered that other people criticize him so much, but he is totally immune to it. When you've been around Blake Bortles, what type of guy have you gleaned from his personality?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that's too far off, D.A. I mean, he's a very steady guy. I mean, I met with him after some terrible games the last few years, and he's the same as he was going into Week 16 against San Francisco with a chance to clinch the division. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. I think he's a lot tougher mentally than a lot of people give him credit for. And I also think a big difference this year was the play calling of the offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, who should be regarded as one of the top assistants in the NFL with the job he did this season. They really, you look at their first 15 plays every game, it's such a great calculated plan to get Bortles into a rhythm. There's play action, there's a lot of run, there's nothing too crazy. It's a way for Blake to build some confidence early on because, you know, some of his teammates, led by Mercedes Lewis, have said that it's a mental thing for Bortles, it's a confidence thing the last few years. But I think that Blake this year, he knew he was under the gun, so he knew he had to rise up his game. But I think that the ability to get in a good groove early in games has served Bortles well, and that's why he's had probably one of his better seasons. You look back to a couple years ago, he had big numbers, but the Jaguars weren't winning. But in terms of success, in terms of wins, by far his best season.
I want to ask you about the NFC games as well, because even though you focus on the AFC, I know you understand the cultures of NFL organizations and locker rooms, and in Los Angeles with the Rams, you know, Sean McVay seems to have just changed everything after Jeff Fisher. I mean, everything just feels completely different. What is the value when you've seen fresh ideas, younger guys, different perspectives walk into locker rooms and organizations like LA and maybe shake them out of the doldrums of the way it had been for years?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think the Rams are one of the top teams to get to the Super Bowl this year. I really do. I think that he's done a phenomenal job. It's just a total jolt of energy in the right direction. And, you know, sometimes we see coaching changes made just for the sake of change. But McVay came in with a plan. Sean McDermott came into Buffalo with a plan, trying to change the culture. That's all he talked about. He's still talking about it, just the way that he wanted to change the culture in Buffalo. And I think that's exactly what McVay did. There's just a different vibe around that team. And not only do we see, you know, we don't always see coaching changes work out like this. You know, sometimes you see more of the same and just a few different wrinkles. But you're talking about massive changes in L.A., massive changes from Rex Ryan to Sean McDermott in Buffalo. And it served both those teams well this year.
Saints-Panthers is going to be the last game of this weekend. And the Saints are so interesting because they've always been all about Drew Brees. And this year, really, it's not about Drew Brees. It's about a defense. It's about running the football. Are the Saints better served this year with this type of style to win in January versus the way they've been built in the past?
I think so. I mean, it's probably one of the better defenses that Sean Payton has had down there when you look back over the last 5-7 years. And, you know, I think the way they drafted with Kamara and Lattimore, those guys have had big, big impacts. And we're seeing the impact of the draft. That's, you know, obviously a huge factor in New Orleans' success this season. And, you know, they still have Drew Brees. So, you know, we know they can rely on Drew. And we know that you can count on him in a big moment, in a big spot in the fourth quarter when his experience takes over. But these younger players have made some incredible contributions to the Saints in what I feel is a wide-open NFC this year.
Before I let you go, how do we explain the Bengals retaining Marvin Lewis? What could possibly be the reasoning there?
Well, I don't know if I have an answer for that question, D.A. I did not see that one coming. I mean, obviously, I don't think a lot of people did. You know, I really like Marvin Lewis. I think he's done a great job. In my meetings with him, he's been fantastic. I know that when he sits at a press conference podium, he's not always commanding the room as some other coaches would. But I've enjoyed my time with him. But I was kind of thinking, like, all right, there's time for a change. Like, sometimes it's just time to go. It's just time for a change, get some new blood in there. And I thought that's you know, kind of the way it was headed. I guess those last two wins against Detroit and Baltimore really changed the equation, because I think going into the last two games, there wasn't a very good chance he'd be back. But here he is, and, you know, they got a lot of work to do, especially on that offensive line, which was not good this year. And, you know, the number one pick, Ross, never got going. So there's a lot to work on in Cincinnati in the offseason. And it'll be Marvin leading the charge.
So, just so you know, Meraz has declared Lou Malnati's deep dish pizza as good as any New York slice of pizza, which I find fairly offensive. Your thoughts on that before I let you go?
Yeah. Well, look, let's be honest. It's hard to doubt Meraz when it comes to food. I mean, that's like picking against the Patriots, right? I mean, you don't want to do that. But in this instance, I can't agree. There's just too much bread. There's too much sauce. It's just not enough for me, like a New York pizza. So I'm picking against the Patriots here.
Andrew Catalan, one of the voices of the NFL on CBS. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Catalan. My man, it is always wonderful to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
DA, Happy New Year. I'll see you soon.
Back at you. Andrew Catalan, NFL on CBS, joining us here on the show, picking against the Patriots. Andrew Bogus, your thoughts on Meraz going deep dish over a New York slice?
Well, I take exception, I think, to Mr. Catalan's assessment of Sean here. Now, Sean does know food, as we can see. The problem is when push comes to shove and it's choice A or choice B, he normally has the worst choice.
Mm.
Like in this situation. Like, you'd think you want to trust him. You do. But
you do.
He's not the Patriots in these scenarios.
You feel
he's
like
not.
He has more flaws than that.
Yeah. He's the Bengals.
He's the Bengals.
Right. He's the, oh, let me get there, but then lose in the first round of the playoffs again. And then we keep going back to Marvin Lewis here. I mean, sure, everybody, you know, he can have two lunches and three desserts and a couple of dinners. And he was snacking on saltines, apparently, on the train right in this morning just to settle his stomach. But if you go, Sean, this or that, and he gives you deep dish over New York, that's not the Belichick-Brady answer.
Mariz, what did you eat today before 9:30 a.m. Eastern time?
I had three crackers on the train. I had a reduced-fat blueberry muffin.
Reduced-fat.
I had a large iced tea. I had a brownie.
The size of your hand.
Brownie the size of my hand. And I had something else that I'm forgetting now, which says a lot. What else did I have? Oh, a bag of chips.
Okay. When we come back, your best audio of the day, including Marvin Lewis discussing why he's returning. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Pardon me, my fork. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
42 minutes past the hour. Remember that you can take us with you wherever you go by downloading any of the apps, the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. Coming up next hour on the show, talking about Blake Bortles. The guy has been trashed up and down. People have laughed at him. He's become a punchline. Nobody thinks he's worth anything as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And yet here is his chance to silence all of the critics and rewrite his narrative. Can he rise to the occasion? We'll talk about that next hour. Plus, Central Florida believes that it has an argument to be the actual national champions in college football. Do they look stupid, or is this brilliant? That's coming up next hour here on the show. As always, you can hit me up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. You've got to check out the picture that we have on Facebook right now and on Twitter of Mraz looking exactly like Len Dawson. Len smoking a heater in the locker room with the Kansas City Chiefs back in the 60s. And Mraz, head tilted to the side, just the same way. Two fingers around the object going into his mouth, just the same way. Except Mraz is pounding a brownie.
Chubbo.
Neither one of them being incredibly healthy, but it's kind of perfect. We've posted this both on Facebook and on Twitter, and I think you'll enjoy this. Dessert coordinator Brad Heller, upon seeing this, has tweeted, "New year, new me."
Even if you're fat.
I'm a fat lord.
Jolton Joe D'Aloisio, formerly on the Wheels of Steel here on the show, tweets, "New year, same slob. Hashtag get in my belly."
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
I love my sausage smoked.
People are really enjoying taking their shots at Mraz this morning, including all of the guys that have ever worked here. Fat ass!
Suck down this hot dog.
People get fat sometimes. What are you going to do? It happens.
Waffle cones on me?
855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. It is time for your best audio of the day.
Pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body.
We've got your best audio of the day.
You might not be fat. You might just be bloated.
It's sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with Sam Darnold, USC quarterback who may be the number one pick of the draft.
Hey, Trojan fans, this is Sam Darnold. After talking to my immediate family, very close friends, and many people who have helped me throughout my life, I have made the decision to declare for the 2018 NFL Draft. I've been blessed that my life has been full of memorable moments and wonderful people. The people who have been involved in making me the man I am today have prepared me for the life and decisions that I have to make in the future. I want to thank Coach Ortiz, Coach Kopp, Coach Popovich, and everyone involved with San Clemente High School and its football program, who tirelessly taught me how to work hard and strive for what I want. I want to thank the University of Southern California, President Max Nikias, former athletic director Pat Hayden, and current athletic director Lynn Swan for providing me with an opportunity to better my life on and off the field.
All right, so that's just about the cheesiest announcement and declaration for the NFL draft ever, but that's kind of who Sam Darnold is. He's kind of a cheese factory. He's always going to say the right thing. He's always going to be completely diplomatic. When asked about coming out of the NFL draft, even if it was the Browns drafting him at number one, he said it would be an honor to be drafted by anybody to fulfill his lifelong dream of playing in the NFL. Whereas Josh Rosen said, well, I would rather be drafted into the right situation later in the draft than the wrong situation earlier, which made people believe that Josh Rosen isn't inclined to want to go to a bad situation like the Cleveland Browns. And you know how most of us feel, that these athletes have been given so much great God-given ability that they're going to be making tons of money as it is. They're playing a kid's game. Hey, man, no matter where you get drafted, you just got to appreciate that. Like, beggars can't be choosers, or don't try to manipulate situations just so that you can get to a better situation. You should be grateful for what you have, which is a huge part of this whole backlash against the national anthem kneeling, is that a lot of fans just feel like athletes should be grateful for anything that they have, especially all that they have in this great country. So this is going to be what hurts a quarterback like Josh Rosen that suggests, you know what, I don't have to be number one if I go to a better team. Sam Darnold is safe. He's vanilla. He's a vanilla wafer. He's not going to make you sick. He's not going to make you puke. It's not going to be too many calories. You can feel somewhat comfortable eating the vanilla wafer for dessert and going, well, I didn't have the chocolate explosion rocky road. I don't think, though, Sam Darnold is going to be a great quarterback in the NFL draft. I think he'll be safe, but I don't think he has the it factor to be great. I think Josh Rosen does. I think Josh Rosen is chocolate explosion, Rocky Road, triple fudge. I think Rosen has the edge. I think Rosen is a little controversial. I think Rosen speaks his mind. But I think part of that is the package of Rosen believes he will be great. He's got a little Aaron Rodgers in the screw you. And, you know, I don't mind that in a quarterback if it makes him deliver on Sundays. I am much higher on Rosen than I am on Sam Darnold. I know Darnold has the mechanics and Darnold has the composure and he says all the right things. You can trust him saying the right things to the media. I don't think he'll be great. And if you're going to draft a guy number one overall, he needs to have greatness within him. I would opt for Rosen over Darnold. We'll talk a lot about this, I'm sure, leading up to the NFL draft. Marvin Lewis on why the hell is he coming back.
I think sometimes there's a tendency to think that the grass is greener, and it doesn't necessarily end up that way very often. And so I think if they feel good about the relationship they have and where they're headed that way, I think it's a little different that way.
Okay, so Marvin Lewis is right there being completely honest about why Mike Brown would bring him back. And that is the Bengals had stagnated. They missed the playoffs again this year. The season was a loss. And finally, the Bengals said, we need to be more than this. This has run its course. And then the Bengals looked around. And they started regretting that maybe they had made Marvin Lewis mad. Marvin Lewis started playing the power play of, why would you get rid of me? Do you realize how successful I've been? Making them feel guilty for pushing him out. Marvin Lewis started leaking rumors that he would leave before he was going to be fired. And was the ultimate Jedi mind trick. Mike Brown basically came into his office with the pink slip and the firing notice and the severance. And Marvin Lewis played the Jedi mind trick on him. Waved his hand and said, this is not the coach you're looking for. And Mike Brown looked at Marvin Lewis and said, this is not the coach I'm looking for. And turned around, went back to his office, put this pink slip in his desk, and he sat in his chair and stared at the wall. Marvin Lewis's greatest accomplishment is not actually making the Bengals a playoff franchise. It's not even keeping his job for 16 years despite never winning a playoff game. Is that he was able to mind bleep Mike Brown into not firing him. The Bengals were going to fire him. And then Mike Brown was like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's kind of good. And like, Marvin Lewis like takes care of all the stuff that I want to take care of. And I mean, that means I would have to do more coaches interviews. And then we had to hire a whole new staff. And I don't know about that. Then I would have to maybe pay two different coaches. And I don't know if I'm really ready to do that. So, Marvin, would you come back? And finally, Adam Gase calling out his wide receiver, Jarvis Landry, after getting into a fight and getting ejected on Sunday.
I think this last game was probably that was the pinnacle of what I've ever seen with him during a game. I know there's been times where, you know, some of those guys kind of got in the mix a little bit, but I don't think I've ever seen it get to a level where it was extremely bad. Like last game, that was about as embarrassing as I've seen in a long time. You know, it's just something that we can't have happen.
I mean, look, you got to bring back Adam Gase because in year one, he brings you to the playoffs at 10-6. Nobody expects it. In year two, he loses Ryan Tannehill, his starting quarterback, before the season begins. And so it's going to be hell in handbasket automatically. But I don't know how you grade out Adam Gase because sometimes he says really ridiculous things. Sometimes he tries to be too much of a tough guy. I understand being frustrated with Jarvis Landry. I think some of this, though, has to do with how Gase coaches. Landry can be a headache. But Landry also has more catches in his first 4 years than any wide receiver ever. He has 400 catches in his first four seasons. So Landry is really productive. You're trying to develop Ryan Tannehill into a winning starting quarterback. You kind of need to have Landry around. I know he's going to be a free agent, but you can't afford not to bring him back. He's a headache. He's got a little Odell Beckham in him, but he's not as talented as Odell Beckham. And you got to try to figure out a way to harness him, but you got to bring him back. You can't afford not to bring him back. And that's your sound check. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. And it's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Are we going to have Taz on the show tomorrow?
That is the plan from what I discussed. He told us he would come on sometime in our first hour. Now, I can't control the man, so I don't know what's going to happen with him tomorrow, but that's the plan, yes.
So maybe 9:20 tomorrow morning, we have the Taz man on.
That would be what we assume, yes.
The Tasmanian Devil.
The Tasmanian Devil, we will have Taz on. We'll work on getting Moose on in March.
Taz and the Moose leads into us every morning here on CBS Sports Radio, so catch them 6 until 9 o'clock, the new morning show, and then us 9 until noon Eastern. When we return, is Blake Bortles poised for a deep run? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.